It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. Thank you for being here. We'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You could tune in on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can listen on SiriusXM channel 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. It is Monday, which means we got Monday Night Football. And not only do we have one game, the NFL has blessed us. Maybe blessing us is not the right word. We got two games tonight, okay? We have the Bears and the Vikings. There's some implications there for the Minnesota Vikings. And then we have the Atlanta Falcons, who happen to be in Vegas getting ready to take on the Raiders. There are some implications there, especially for the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins. But we'll get into that momentarily. And we've already had a big show. We talked about some of the games from yesterday. The Detroit Lions, their injuries. Are they now taking a step back when it comes to being a competitor in the NFC? How about this? In 20 minutes, we're going to talk to someone who covers the team that beat the Lions yesterday. Sal Capaccio is going to join us. He covers the Buffalo Bills. He is their sideline reporter. We talked about the high ankle sprain of Patrick Mahomes. We got into another injured legend in LeBron James dealing with his foot. He came back. He was doing treatment and what have you. Now he said, yeah, I'm back. And the next time that LeBron James could take like a week off, he's going to do it because he is almost 40 years old. I'm like, damn, bro, you're not tired of running on that hardwood yet? My legs are tired of thinking about it. So we'll get into more football. We'll talk some Monday Night Football. We got a lot to do. If you want to be a part of the show, it's simple. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Sal Capaccio is going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk about the Buffalo Bills. I mentioned LeBron James being tired. Patrick Mahomes having to play in all these damn games. Now he got a high ankle sprain. Minnesota Vikings, well, they'll play in a bit. They should be overtaking or at least tying the injured Detroit Lions. There's so many people tired. It's the end of the season. Let me just show love to someone who played right here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Burbs, out in Sewanee. Played his high school ball here, and then he went to Jackson, and then he went to Colorado. Congratulations to Travis Hunter, the football player who never gets tired. The man who plays on offense, he plays on defense because he won the Heisman on Saturday night in New York City. Congratulations to him. He beat Ashton Jeanty. They said it was one of the closest Heisman votes that we have ever seen when it comes down to first place. He had, Travis Hunter did, 2,231 first place points. Jeanty had 2,017. So you can do the math there. A little less than 200 points is separating them. And let's listen to the winner first. Travis Hunter, he pretty much said, thank you. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to the damn team.
Colorado, I know y'all somewhere, and we got this after party finna go crazy. Hey, appreciate y'all, man. I love y'all. I put y'all on the flight, but y'all, the most people that made it, thank y'all for making the flight. Holding my name down, holding Colorado name down. Skol Buffs, baby.
Yeah, I guess his after party can go crazy because he turned 21 just a few months ago. Good for him. He probably doesn't even drink. Hickey, you think Travis Hunter drinks? I think Deion said he doesn't drink, right?
Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't party. He is, I was going to say, all natural and clean, but that's, yeah.
Good for him. God bless him. And then speaking of Deion, Travis Hunter, he thanked Deion and his son, Shador, the quarterback.
Now, one simple phone call, Shador, look where I'm at. Man, that's crazy, bro. It's crazy. I'm trying not to get emotional because I know our last game coming up soon. But I'm thankful for both of y'all.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he had to spend time. And that, why I wouldn't respond. But this is the world we live in. Like, his girlfriend. I'm not going to sit around too much and talk about a 21-year-old's girlfriend. But his girlfriend went viral, and, you know, people are saying she's ungrateful of the opportunity. There was a clip where she's like, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm just going to sit here the whole time while you take photos. He was at an Adidas event, and I don't know. And then he went on social media. He went on his live stream, and he reacted about how she's sad about this, and it makes him sad. And I'm like, TMI, like, keep this to yourselves. Like, I guess this is a part of being 21. I wouldn't be talking about my personal business. I wouldn't, not on no live stream about how my girlfriend, her feelings are hurt. Now my feelings are hurt because she's hurt. He said, Hickey, he told everybody she cried herself to sleep and then she had a lot of alcohol. Like, why is he sharing this?
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I try to ask him grace because, again, they are college kids, right?
Yeah, they're 21, yeah.
They're not professionals. They're not adults, if you will. Like, still a lot of immaturity there. I'd probably act the same way, you know, back in college, right? Like, but it's just crazy now in this day and age, the attention, especially him, how well he's playing and the attention he's getting, that this just brings so much, so many eyeballs to where everyone is not criticizing, but maybe judging every move you right. and then your surrounding circle make.
Man, keep here's a note. And 21-year-old Travis Hunter, not that he's listening right now, but bro, just keep your private life private. As simple as that, we'll be out here telling about Dion, talk to him. Tell him something. And good luck to Travis Hunter. As he said, they got one more bowl game. And the next time we see Travis Hunter, he's going to play in that bowl game, by the way. God bless him. Not one of these players who's going to say, I'm not playing. I'm not going to risk injury. This guy plays every snap. And we'll see what he does in that next game. And then we'll wait to see him play in the NFL. For who, we don't know. But we'll see what happens with the draft. And then we'll watch him. Next year, the man who did not win the Heisman, Ashton Jeanty, the running back, he says, man, I should have won the damn thing.
Obviously, everything is earned, but I really felt like I should have walked away with the award. But, you know, kudos to Travis and, you know, for winning.
Well, at least he's competing for a national championship, right? I mean, that's something that you got to look forward to. We're not going to see Colorado. They playing in a meaningless bowl game. Meanwhile, Boise State, like, they're ranked. They got themselves a bye. And the next time we see them play football, they're either going to be taking on SMU or Penn State. And so at least you can show it on the football field. And so let's see what Ashton Jeanty goes out there and what he could do. Not a shock that they gave it to Travis Hunter. I would have given it to Jeanty. But when you play offense, you play defense, they were just like, man, this guy doesn't walk off the field. God bless him. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Jacob is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. You're on the JR Sportby Show. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, man, how's it going? Good to talk to you.
Likewise. What's up?
I just wanted to tell your listeners why the Big Orange are going up to Columbus Saturday. Going to get the win at the Shoe, man. They have a recipe that travels. They have a good defense, and Dylan Sampson, the most underrated player in college football, breaking 100-year-old school records at the University of Tennessee in the SEC, not facing those light boxes that Ashton Jeanty's facing, but facing SEC 7 and 8 man fronts week in, week out. They're going to get it done. They're going to shock the world. Watch it.
I don't think it's that much of a shock. I don't think them doing that would quote unquote be shocking the world. I think this, when you take a look at the entire schedule of the games that we have here, that's probably going to be the best game to watch. I would go ahead and favor Ohio State at home still because of all of the talent that they have on the team. I know that they took that L of Michigan and people are looking at them crazy and what have you. I would still go ahead and take them at home, but I think Tennessee can certainly give them a fight. I would not call it a shock.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But let's look at the fact that Tennessee's probably going to be the most balanced team Ohio State has played all year. And there's no doubt about it. All the pressure is on Ryan Day. And it shows in his interviews. If Tennessee gets up early and it keeps it close into the fourth quarter, all the pressure is going to be on the Buckeyes. Tennessee's playing with the house money right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, Jacob. You as well, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, Ryan Day was sweating bullets. He's like, oh, my God, I lost to the Ohio State. Well, no, I lost to Michigan, and now I gotta cry about it. Hickey, is he done crying? Is he finished yet?
I think he's done crying about Michigan. If what Jacob just said is true and all of a sudden Tennessee wins on Saturday, I think those tears are going to be flowing yet again.
Oh, man. They're not going to give him the boot if he gets his ass whooped, are they? No, right? No?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, he ain't going anywhere. He's going to cry. They'll try to give him the boot next year. Oh, man. I agree with him. But I'm not calling it a shock if they go up there and beat him. I think it's going to be a good game. But I expect Ohio State to win.
I agree with everything you just said. Yeah, like this is by far the closest game, right? They're 8-9 in terms of seeding two top 10 teams. I think if we're talking about like an upset, right, of a home team losing, I think people will be far more surprised if Penn State loses to SMU.
Correct.
Texas loses to Clemson. Even Notre Dame. To Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm with you. This is the most, you know, or the least surprising road team winning for sure.
That's the game that I really want to see. That's the one I want to see. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. Thank you so much, Jacob, for calling from Knoxville. You're right, though. Like, what does Tennessee have to lose? Nothing. Not a damn thing. 855-212-4227. Speaking of big games, this is a big game tonight for the Minnesota Vikings. We talked about the Detroit Lions and all of their injuries earlier on in the show. We got two Monday Night Football games. We have the Bears and the Vikings. We also have Atlanta in Las Vegas. The Vikings are on a six-game winning streak right now. And if they beat the Bears, which they should, we know it's the NFL, they got to go out there and play the games, they can tie for the division lead with the Lions just by winning. The Vikings lit up Atlanta last week. Sam Darnold threw five touchdowns. He is just hot like fish grease right now. Over his last four games, 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions. Sam Darnold is looking like the guy the New York Jets wished that they had when they selected him back in 2018. But it is the New York Jets. They grabbed this man at number 3 overall and they ruined him. Poor Sam Darnold had to bounce around and Panthers back up on the 49ers. Now he is lighting it up. The Minnesota Vikings are going to have some choices to make here next year. Are they going to have to keep on Sam Darnold and tell J.J. McCarthy, hey, man, sit down, take a seat? We'll find out sooner than later. The head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, a great human being, a great coach, a great mind, a great offensive guy, Kevin O'Connell. He says, yeah, this game is big for us.
Going to be a big one in the NFC North. These guys are going to a good football team that's going to play really hard. And we know that, you know, Thomas Brown leading that team, that it's all over the tape of those guys playing 60 minutes. So we've got to play really good football to have a chance to win this one.
Yeah, keep in mind, this is the Chicago Bears, Thomas Brown. This is his second game coaching of the Chicago Bears since he had to take over from Matt Eberflus, who decided to lay an egg the worst possible time on Thanksgiving. Pretty awesome. I told you about Sam Darnold and the run that he's been on. He hasn't thrown an interception since the beginning of November. He threw three INTs against Jacksonville. They barely won that game 12-7. And I told you, he has been lighting it up. 11 touchdowns over his past four games. Listen to Sam Darnold. What the hell changed, Sam?
I think the biggest thing for me is just continuing to make good decisions. And, you know, being able to, when I do let the ball rip, let it rip with confidence. You know, I think that's been the biggest thing for me these past few weeks. And I'm just going to continue to do that.
Now, listen, he is trying to roll himself into another big-time paycheck for next season. And they should go ahead and tie for the division tonight. No reason why they don't go out there and beat the Chicago Bears. They are now on a seven-game losing streak. They have a new interim head coach. We heard or talked about Thomas Brown. You heard Kevin O'Connell mention him. And Caleb Williams, he's not turning the ball over. God bless him as a rookie. 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. They're trying to figure out how to, you know, get that offense all revved up and started. And the Chicago Bears with a 4-9 record, in a lot of cases, they've been disappointing. People expected them to maybe even compete for a wild card. Their new head coach, Thomas Brown, he spoke to the media and he said, you know what? You're damn right this game's going to be tough. They're trying to, you know, tie for the division lead. They're playing at home. We got to try to beat them.
It's going to be probably the loudest environment we've been a part of, which is awesome. I love loud stadium. I love the juice that kind of provides as well. So I think also going on the road focuses you to kind of focus more on yourself as well. So kind of just it's us against the world type mentality. So all those things kind of be included to me leads us give an opportunity to have success.
Man, if the Minnesota Vikings lose this game, man, they need to put themselves on punishment. There's no reason for them to lose against the Chicago Bears. None. Minnesota Vikings, it would be a surprise if they don't walk away with a share of the division lead by the time we get to the end of tonight. That's one of the Monday Night Football games. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and the Raiders. We'll get into that next hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's talk some Buffalo Bills, because with the Kansas City Chiefs kind of busted up and Mahomes' high ankle sprain, it looks like the Bills are still out here rolling. Are they rolling towards, I don't know, being a favorite in the AFC finally? Will they finally get over the hump? We're going to go ahead and have that chat on the other side of the break. Sal Capaccio is going to join us, covers all things Buffalo Bills as their sideline reporter. Don't go anywhere. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You don't need an auto part to know that the Buffalo Bills are rolling right now. Winners of 8 out of their last 9 games. Now have a record of 11-3. They outscore the vaunted big-time Detroit Lions. What does this mean for the Buffalo Bills? They close out the season against some powder puffs, the Jets, and also the Patriots. Are they finally going to get over the Chiefs, who are just, I don't know, are the Chiefs wearing down? We see what happened with Patrick Mahomes with that high ankle sprain. To talk about the Bills, what we can expect the rest of the way, is someone who covers the Bills up close and personal. Joining us right now is Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter. Sal, how are you?
Pretty good, man. Good to talk to you guys.
All the time. Thank you for taking the time. I guess first question out of the box, when you take a look at the Buffalo Bills and what you've seen so far throughout the course of the season, they did have that hiccup against the Rams. How are you feeling? Are the fans feeling like this is finally the year to get past the Chiefs? What say you?
Well, I think from the fans' perspective, there's a lot of scar tissue. They're jilted until it actually happens. I think there's a lot of cautious optimism, right? They don't want to lean too much into it because they don't want their hearts broken again, right? It's happened too many times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a recognition that this team, has the ability to win the AFC, to beat who's ever in front of them on any given Sunday. But we've also seen them not have their best days a couple of times this year. And then all it takes is one day where you don't have your best, you don't have your fastball, and then all of a sudden, you're out of it. So, yeah, I mean, we all recognize that, A, the Bills are certainly one of the best, if not maybe the most talented and best team overall in the AFC. But also, obviously, they have what I think is the league MVP and the number one player in the league as well. And whenever you have Josh Allen, you have a chance to beat anybody.
And Sal Capaccio is joining us, covers all things Buffalo Bills on the sideline. When you look at what's taken place over the past few weeks, they're scoring in the 40s, the second highest scoring team in the league, but they're giving up, 42 points in both these games against the Rams and then also Detroit. What's the concern there on the defense? What's going on where they're just giving up all these damn points?
Well, I think you have to take each game individually and look at them. Obviously, against the Rams, the defense did not play well. They played pretty poorly, actually. I think they were even embarrassed by their own performance, talking with people in the locker room and throughout the week. And, that's just not indicative of a Sean McDermott defense. This is a defense that over the last, 8 years since Sean McDermott's been in charge, they have so much pride in being one of the top defenses in the league, generally up near the top in, points allowed per game and things like that. And they were not good against the LA Rams. And then they go into Detroit, and they're missing three starters in the secondary. They're missing their corner, Russell Douglas, and both starting safeties. And it's really actually funny. I don't know. I know it's kind of weird to say this, and it sounds weird.
Okay.
They gave up 500 yards passing, over 500 yards of total offense, but I actually really liked the way the defense played yesterday. It was really more circumstantial. The Bills were up, you know, three scores, and they started really just playing a prevent defense. And they said, we're not going to let you anything over the top. They did an amazing job to shut down the run game. They really focused on Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and those guys did not do anything against the Bills' defense. They had great pass rush and pressure. They sacked Jared Goff three times. They got to him several times, flushed him out of the pocket. I think a lot of those yards were really more about them saying, hey, we're going to give you yards for time and make sure you don't get easy stuff over the top. I'll give you an example. 2 minutes left in the game, 2:03 left. The Bills have a 10-point lead, and they just said, okay, if you want to come down the field, we'll let you do that, but you're going to take a lot of time. The Lions scored, but it took 16 plays and, you know, all of 2 minutes. Look, they didn't play situationally well in a couple of those moments. Third down. There were a few things you certainly want back. But I'm not concerned at all about the defense. Actually, yesterday kind of reinforces my belief, despite the numbers, believe it or not, that this is still a really good defense.
Okay, Sal. Well, when you take a look at what we have left in the season, there should be no reason, unless they want to get a little bit of rest in, that they shouldn't beat New England, also New York, we know, any given Sunday. What can we expect over these next three games, as we know they're trying to ramp up for the postseason and also stay healthy?
Well, a lot of this is going to hinge on what happens with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, right? I mean, the Bills have, they're 1.5 games behind Kansas City. So its chances are unlikely they catch Kansas City, but what happens if the Chiefs lose? If they don't have Mahomes, they lose on Saturday. Suddenly, Sunday, the Bills go against the Patriots, and now they could climb within one game. And remember, the Bills have the tiebreaker there. Now, all of a sudden, all bets are off. So they're going to keep playing until they see this thing through. Until they can no longer get the one seed, they're going to keep playing. They want the one seed. They want to be home for the playoffs and especially have that bye. But the silver lining is if they don't get the one seed, and they know that going into Week 18, then they can back off some players, get a little bit healthy, and rest a little bit. But this team, you know, they're on a roll right now. They've tied an NFL record with 8 straight games of 30 or more points. I think they feel really good about the way the offense is humming right now in all facets of the game. And like I said, the way Josh Allen is playing. But I think the next 3 weeks are also, to your point earlier, would be really nice for the next 3 weeks for the defense to get back in tune to where they were earlier in the season.
Now, Sal, you mentioned Josh Allen. To think about how he was not criticized, how he was evaluated coming out of school and being a gunslinger, and then he was Superman doing it all and turning the ball over, even as recently as last year. This year, only 5 interceptions. You've seen him. How has he evolved over these years outside of, hey, keeping and taking care of the ball?
Yeah, your first term was right. He was actually absolutely criticized, no doubt about it. There were people who said he would never amount to anything in the NFL because of, you know, his gunslinger mentality and turning the ball over and things like that. And what we've seen in Buffalo, though, is, you know, a guy, while people look at box scores and say, oh, my God, look at the interceptions, I think that there's also should be a recognition of all the unbelievable things he did by scoring touchdowns and all the touchdown passes. And it's not just all about the positive. Of course, the negative counts, right? But you don't get all those great things without Josh Allen taking chances. And you have to let Josh Allen be a Josh Allen. Now, this year, what's happened is he's still Josh Allen in a lot of ways, but he's basically taking the I'm going to live to fight another day approach a lot of times, which is not going to necessarily have to, you know, throw something here that doesn't have to be thrown. I'm going to make sure that we make the right play, make the smart decision. He's not running as much, although this last couple of weeks he did, and then yesterday because the situations presented themselves, he's scoring a lot near the goal line. He's a great goal line back. But, you know, the decision-making is really, I think, what's allowed him to not turn the ball over as much. And look, you're still getting a lot of touchdowns, not quite as many through the air, but it's also allowing them to play so much better complementary football because they have a very, very good running attack behind them where they can turn to all of these different guys, James Cook and Ray Davis and Ty Johnson.
As Sal Capaccio is joining us on the JR Sport Brief Show, Bills reporter, you know, earlier in the year, it looked like Lamar Jackson was going to run away with the MVP. The Baltimore Ravens looked like they hit a little bit of a hiccup. Lamar is still having a ridiculous year. Do you think this is the time where Josh Allen will walk away, given what the Buffalo Bills record looks like?
I do think he will, and that's no disrespect to Lamar and the season he's having. He's been phenomenal, and I think he deserves it. I think Josh Allen maybe should have won the award last year. I think that Lamar won it by the fact that there were a lot of guys that you know, necessarily wasn't. I think Josh had a really tremendous year last year, but Lamar had a great year too, and you see where they were in the record and, you know, what these teams did. So, look, again, these two guys are both phenomenal. I think Saquon's probably out of it a little bit at this point, considering some of the games he's had. I know he can still hit 2,000 yards. I think it's between Josh and Lamar. But I think a big reason is, you know, going into the year, I can't tell you how many radio shows like this I did in August that people said, well, this is a step-back year for the Bills, right? This is a reset year. No Stephon Diggs, no Gabe Davis. Look at all the weapons. Josh Allen has one guy, one, on the entire wide receiver core that caught a pass from him coming into this year on this team. That's Khalil Shakir. I mean, they're doing this with Khalil Shakir, rookie Keon Coleman, second-year Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. And, yeah, they traded for Amari Cooper. Yet Josh Allen threw for 360 yards yesterday and zero targets for Amari Cooper. To me, that's a big reason why he's MVP. He's actually doing it with a far less cast and so much less than a lot of people thought they actually had around him.
Well, when you look at the other teams that happen to be around the Buffalo Bills competing in the AFC, we know Kansas City is they're the boogeyman. Patrick Mahomes is that boogeyman. Baltimore has his issues. Pittsburgh, we know that they have their issues. Pickens currently hurt. Baltimore needs to get over the hump as well. The Buffalo Bills look strong. What do you think will take place between now and January, maybe February?
Well, I wish I knew for sure. I think I could probably say the Bills and Chiefs will meet again, right? I think that's what will happen. Then we'll see from there. But look, I mean, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs pretty much every year in the regular season in the last four. But, of course, we know they haven't beaten them in the playoffs. They were within 13 seconds of beating them in one playoff game. And then last year they were within one Stephon Diggs drop pass and a missed field goal of beating them. And the margin is so slim. They're right there. They know they can beat that team. They know they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but it sure is a mentality of, and it's something, a mental hurdle of, you know, in the playoffs, getting it done. And until that happens, you know, and it hasn't. But I think that as a group inside One Bills Drive, I think there's enough confidence knowing that, you know, hey, we've beaten this team. We've beaten them in Kansas City. We've beaten them in Buffalo, and we can do it again. But, you know, you're going to have challenges along the way, too, with a team like the Ravens, who are always a tough matchup for the Bills because of the way the Bills' defense is structured and how they want to, you know, really with athletic linebackers, and they're not the biggest. They're more structured to stop the pass. You know, that's tough against a team like Baltimore that's going to big boy you and Derrick Henry. So, and they lost to the Houston Texans this year. Nothing's certain in this league. There's no doubt. I just feel like the Bills, again, seem like they might be on a collision course with the Kansas City Chiefs again.
Yeah, I think we might as well. I don't want to go ahead and put that in the dirt because we know there's no guarantees. Nothing is set, but it seems like this is what we're in store for just about every season. Let's see if the results are different this time for everybody in Buffalo. Hey, Sal, where can people follow you and all of your amazing work?
Yeah, thank you. At Sal Sports on X/Twitter, all social media platforms, including YouTube. We have our podcast. It's always Game Day in Buffalo, and a lot of other content there as well. So at Sal Sports is the place. And, of course, WGR Sports Radio 550 if you're ever bumping around Buffalo.
Hey, Sal, thank you so much. I think you got a lot of more football in front of you to cover, so we appreciate the time, okay?
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks a lot, man.
No doubt about it. That's Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter, coming through to let us know about these Buffalo Bills. I told you, winners 8 out of their last 9. Josh Allen, numbers are ridiculous. I mean, just yesterday, beating up on the Lions, 362 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. He had another 2 touchdowns on the ground. This is another game for Josh Allen. He's like, I'll give you 2 in the air. I'll give you 2 on the ground. A matter of fact, let's listen to Josh Allen, because after the game on CBS, he just talked about what beating the Lions, what it could do for the Bills moving forward. He got New England and the Jets. Listen to this.
That's a good team that we just played. Really one of the best teams in the league. We understand that, the magnitude of this type of game, that we can hang with these type of games. So we'll use that going forward. Still a lot to learn from, and on to next week.
And their head coach, Sean McDermott, when things go wrong, Sean McDermott typically is the first dude to be criticized. And he says, yeah, we went into Detroit and we beat the Lions. Give us a damn break.
I mean, it's not easy, right? Winning in the NFL against any team is not easy. So we don't take those for granted. You know, I think when you're talking about today's game and some of those other games, you're talking about, you know, kind of rare air up there with the best teams that are around right now. And but that's how we're going to have to play every week going forward.
Yeah, look, unless Patrick Mahomes' leg falls off, we can probably say that Kansas City and Buffalo is the most likeliest of matchups in the AFC Championship. We'll see if anybody rocks the boat between now and January. We still have plenty of time. Just going to be real interesting to see how Buffalo closes out the year. You know, as bad as New England, as bad as the New York Jets are, they ain't just going to go out there and roll over because they're taking on the Buffalo Bills. And so hopefully the Bills can get through the season healthy. And hopefully Patrick Mahomes can go out there and heal up as well. Hey, good on the Bills, man. They are rolling. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We are going to take a break. When we come back, you know what? Let's talk about another team that happens to be rolling. 10 straight victories. They play in the NFC. And just a week ago, they were all beefing amongst themselves, even though they were winning. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles on this other side. They are certainly happy. We got more to get into. We'll talk about the Falcons, Monday Night Football against the Raiders. There's a lot to get into.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Sal Capaccio for joining us in the last break to talk about how amazing the Buffalo Bills have been. They got a record of 11-3. They could still finish the season as the number one seed in the AFC. Let's see what takes place with the Kansas City Chiefs. 8 out of 9 games. Josh Allen is playing out of his mind. Let's just see what happens in the postseason. That's it. And Buffalo Bills finally going to go to the Super Bowl with Josh Allen leading the way. And I agree with Sal. Given their record, I think Josh Allen is going to walk away with the MVP. It is crazy, though. You look at both his numbers and Lamar Jackson. Oh, my God. Lamar Jackson, just in the air, has 34 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. Please. Where are all of the people who said he just needs to be a running back? Where are all those folks at? Those are his numbers just as a passer. It doesn't take into account what he's been able to do on the ground as well. And Josh Allen, just as much of a freak of nature right now. But we all know they got to get past that boogeyman, and that boogeyman is Patrick Mahomes. Unfortunately, he right now is dealing with that high ankle sprain. Let's see if he can give it a go this upcoming Saturday against the Texans. Hickey, would you play Mahomes? I get it. They're trying to get a bye, but would you play him on Sunday? Excuse me, Saturday?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, they showed you last year they can go on the road and win. They won in Buffalo. They won in Baltimore. That should not faze you. Mahomes' health is paramount first and foremost. Make sure he's as healthy as could be for the playoffs. If that means sitting him 3 weeks, JR, I would sit him 3 weeks. But bare minimum, you can't play him Saturday.
Yeah, it's crazy what the schedule looks like. And the irony is there that Patrick Mahomes pretty much said as much. He said, man, the amount of games that we have to play in 10, 11 days, 3 games is nuts. And, of course, he got hurt in the first game, well, not the first game of that stretch, I should say, yesterday against the Browns. And so let's see if he plays on Saturday against Houston. I would not play him. I know the NFL would be ticked off if he's not there out there on Christmas next Wednesday. And I think he will be. You know, I think he will be out there. Give it a week and change. No need to go out there and rush it. You're trying to go out there and win a championship. And I know the Kansas City Chiefs, they've won a lot of these games this year by the skin of their teeth. Okay, we're talking field goals and missed field goals and dinks. And it just they're winning. They ain't necessarily just beating the living hell out of teams. So let's see what they do. Collision course, Kansas City, Buffalo, likely, probably. We got to wait about a month. And we'll see what happens. 855-212-4227. I'm going to get to your calls in a moment. Speaking of teams that are on a run, congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles, winners of 10 straight games yesterday. In the Battle of Pennsylvania, the Eagles come out on top over the Steelers. The final score there, 27-13 in Philly. For all the talk we got last week, A.J. Brown wanting the ball, now Hurts needs to move it around. He threw the ball 32 times yesterday, completed 25 passes, 2 touchdowns, One to A.J. Brown, one to Devontae Smith. And both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith had about 110 yards receiving apiece. As Saquon Barkley only had 65 yards rushing. The Steelers are one of the toughest teams on the ground anyway. Saquon still needs 418 yards to pass Eric Dickerson for the most rushing yards in the season. Let's all remember, this is now a 17-game season. But for 1 week, everybody in Philadelphia can relax. Brandon Graham doesn't have to throw people under the bus, and A.J. Brown and Hurts, their relationship doesn't have to get picked apart. For 1 week, even though they've now won 10 straight games, which is a franchise record for the Philadelphia Eagles, they can chill. They can relax. And Nick Sirianni, he said as much. Oh, yeah, the passing game was amazing.
I think we've been super efficient. Today we needed our passing game even more. And so it's just another good day. I know you guys may look at yards a lot. Like, it was just another good day of passing game.
Yeah, just another good game. All is good with the Eagles. This is one of those situations where everything is so damn good. Everything is great. We got to find something to complain about. Just relax next time. Just relax. Next up for the Eagles, the Washington football team, which barely got by the Saints. I think the Eagles should take care of their divisional foe in their next game. I expect the Eagles to improve their record to 13-2. And the way that things are unfortunately going for the Detroit Lions right now, I would feel a little bit more comfortable with the Philadelphia Eagles coming out of the NFC today. 855-212-4227. Richard is calling from right here in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the JR Sport Show. Richard, what's going on?
What's up, my brother from another mother?
How are you? What's up?
Hey, man. I'm fly, Eagles fly. I'm happy.
Good.
But then again, that's typical of Philadelphia people anyway.
Uh-oh. You're not optimistic.
Remember what happened to Snow, to Santa Claus on Christmas?
Yeah, they threw snow at him. Yes, yeah. It's kind of old, but
yes.
What
they did to Donovan McNabb when they started losing. I'm not going to all that. I'm just happy we're at where we're at right now.
I thought you were going to tell me more miserable things that Philadelphia fans do, but that's fine.
But Allen Iverson, we used to say, man, hey, if they hate him, they hate you.
Yeah, touche. What else you got, Richard?
Other than that, my brother, I was calling basically about a project with the VA hospital.
Okay.
My sister,
yeah,
Chiquita Boykins, is going to email you about that.
Okay.
It's by donating, you know, some time, funds, you know, to we giving back to the veterans here.
Okay.
There's various outreach programs here that, okay, you know, the VA, that people that we do.
Okay.
Like
this
assist
is
people in, this you know, is the, getting a nice apartment.
Okay.
I got one brother that I work with.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's got a nice apartment, trust me. And
I
don't
need
pay
one too.
A dime.
Well, I'm not a veteran, but I want one too. Hey, listen, all jokes aside, this is for the VA here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, you know my you said your partner. You know my email address, right?
Well, no, she's already got it online.
Okay, great.
In front of her computer.
Yeah, it's jrsportsbrief@gmail.com. Okay, that's 1S. jrsportbrief@gmail.com. 1S.
Okay.
All right,
but like I said, though, bro, you know I love you, and, hey, I'm always blessing you.
The feeling is mutual. Thank you so much, Richard. I catch you on down the line, okay?
All right.
All the best. Oh, my man. Richard calling from Atlanta. Calling from Atlanta, talking about them dirty birds. Talking about, well, not the dirty birds. The dirty birds are another set of bird-ass losers here in Georgia. Those happen to be the Falcons. The dirty birds, the ones in Philadelphia, the Eagles. The ones that had to find something, just something, to complain about. Hickey, what are they going to complain about next week? They got Washington. They're going to lose. They're going to beat them, right? They're going to beat them.
I think they're going to win. They got pushed in the first time they met on the road. Could be tough, but I think they win.
Yeah, they'll win. Embarrassing if they don't get the job done. It's sad. Hickey's sad. I spoke about birds. You know the first thing that popped up on the screen in front of me?
Birds?
A piece of chicken. A piece of chicken. They make the chicken on TV look so... They make all the food on television. Everything looks so appetizing. Like, they pay people. Like, the food that they put on TV to sell to you, we all know it's not what they got in the restaurant, right? They dress the food up on TV just to look nice. They do all this fake stuff to it to make it look nice, and you get it in the restaurant, it looks like slop.
Yeah, a lot of fast food chains are extremely guilty of that, where, yeah, the commercial versus the reality, not even close.
Listen, they got people whose job, I don't know what you call them, they dress the food up, man, you know? Like, that's a job, Hickey. I need that job, just to dress up food and make it look good.
You think you have an eye for that, like a specialty?
An eye? No, they put, like, a toothpick in the burger to hold it up, and...
Well, I'm saying you have to have an eye for that. You know, you got to say, okay, how does this supposed to look? What can we do to make sure it looks good?
You get a degree in that, or you got to go to art school? Like, how do I dress up a Wendy's burger to look good?
Oh, I bet you there's a lot more education behind that than you probably want to know.
Yeah, I'm a Google that. How can I make a Wendy's burger look good? Listen, I make some money on the side. I do it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, let's talk about a ugly bird on the other side. Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. They play tonight as well. Monday Night Football in Las Vegas. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.